Nothing at all. They can't tell front from back, top from bottom, north from south. Which is why they can never break free of the darkness.
Noboru Wataya paused at that point to give his words time to sink into the minds of his audience.
But let's forget about people like that, he went on. If people want to lose all sense of direction, the best thing that you and I can do is let them. We have more important things to do.
The more I heard, the angrier I became, until my anger was almost choking me. He was pretending to talk to the world at large, but in fact he was talking to me alone, and he must have had some kind of twisted, distorted motive for doing so. But nobody else realized that, which is precisely why Noboru Wataya was able to exploit the gigantic system of television in order to send me secret messages. In my pockets I clenched my hands into fists, but I had no way to vent my anger, and my inability to share this anger with anybody in the lobby aroused in me a profound sense of isolation. The place was filled with people straining to catch every word that Noboru Wataya spoke. I cut across the lobby and headed straight for a corridor that connected with the guest rooms. The faceless man was standing there. As I approached, he looked at me with that faceless face of his. Then, without a sound, he moved to block my way.
"This is the wrong time," he said. "You don't belong here now."
But the deep, slashing pain caused by Noboru Wataya now urged me on. I reached out and pushed the faceless man aside. He wobbled like a shadow and fell away.
"I'm saying this for your sake,"
he called from behind me, his every word lodging in my back like a piece of shrapnel.
"If you go any farther, you won't be able to come back. Do you understand?"
I ignored him and moved ahead with rapid steps. I wasn't afraid of anything now. I had to know. I had lost all sense of direction, but I couldn't stay like that forever. I walked down the familiar-looking corridor. I assumed the man with no face would follow and try to stop me. But when I looked back, there was no one coming. The long, winding corridor was lined with identical doors. Each door had a number, but I couldn't recall the number of the room to which I had been taken the last time. I was sure I had been aware of the number back then, but now my attempts to recall it yielded nothing, and there was no question of my opening every one. I wandered up and down the corridor until I passed a room service waiter carrying a tray. On it was a new bottle of Cutty Sark, an ice bucket, and two glasses. I let the waiter go by, then followed after him. Every now and then, the polished tray caught the light of a ceiling fixture with a bright flash. The waiter didn't look back. Chin drawn in purposefully, he moved straight ahead, his steps in a steady rhythm. Sometimes he would whistle a few lines of music. It was the overture to The Thieving Magpie, the opening where the drums come in. He was good. The corridor was a long one, but I encountered no one else in it all the time I was following the waiter. Eventually, he stopped in front of a door and gave three gentle knocks. After a few seconds had passed, someone opened the door and the waiter carried the tray in. I pressed against the wall, hiding behind a large Chinese-style vase, and waited for the waiter to come out. The room number was 208. Of course! Why hadn't I been able to remember it until now? The waiter was taking a very long time. I glanced at my watch. At some point, though, the hands had stopped moving. I examined the flowers in the vase and smelled each one. The flowers seemed to have been brought from a garden only moments before, so fresh were they, retaining every bit of their color and aroma. Most likely they still hadn't noticed that they had been severed from their roots. A tiny winged insect had worked its way into the core of a red rose with thick, fleshy petals. 5 minutes or more went by before the waiter came out of the room, empty-handed. With his chin pulled in as before, he went back the same way he had come. As soon as he had disappeared around a corner, I walked over to the door. I held my breath and listened, expecting to hear something. But there was no sound, no indication that anyone was inside. I took a chance and knocked three times, gently, as the waiter had done. but no one answered. I let a few seconds pass, and knocked 3 times again, this time a little more forcefully.